Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight and to give you thanks and to testify for you and to sing praises to your name. And, Lord, also to hear your word. And we pray that you would be exalted and adored here this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array. With hammer gleaming, color streaming, and right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The last verse is, the last line is the only thing it counts anyway. The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, the face-to-face in stern array. With armor gleaming, the color streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary, be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
Now 270.
I am in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Shadows I can sing in the service of the King, in the service of the King. Every talent I will bring, I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. To his guiding hand forever I will cling. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring, I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Peace to him I gladly bring. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring, I have peace and joy and blessing.
Sing. Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth.
Good news, announcing peace.
peace, proclaiming news of happiness that our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one.
never saint find this friend forsaken. No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. The Savior given. No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will. Not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Thank you.
is, you know. Jesus is in this very room. He's also in the room of your heart. Turn to John chapter 15 and verse 13. I'm going to talk tonight about loyalty. How we can understand loyalty. The world in which we live is a disloyal world. You will not find the word loyalty in the Bible. I suppose the closest synonym to it could be faithfulness. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of any positive quality that we could think about. And so John chapter 15 and verse 13 will be our text. Scripture says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You talk about loyalty, there is the ultimate example of it. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends." Father, we ask that you would bless your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand loyalty, that we might be loyal to those whom we serve. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. An evangelist was preaching at a Christian college. At the end of one of the services, a young lady came up to the evangelist and with an urgency in her voice and in her countenance said, "I need to talk to you." After most of the crowd had left, the evangelist made time to talk to her. They sat on the edge of the platform and she began to weep as she told her story. A few months before that time, her dad, a godly man, had been killed suddenly in an automobile accident. She had handled her dad's death pretty well until it came to the time when the family had to go through dad's personal things. Everyone was shocked to find out that dad kept a personal diary. Neither his wife nor any of the children knew that he had done this. They were astonished to read a note for every day going back for several years. They were blessed and delighted to read page after page of thoughts and happenings from Dad's life. Then they saw something that caused each of them to really get excited because they found a page for each of the children. On each of their pages were the prayers he had been praying for each child. There was a page for Joe. It read, "Oh God, Joe's a good boy. He loves you. He's trying to make it through college so he can be more effective for you. The finances are tight, God. Please, Lord, supply his needs." Then there was a page for Susie. It read, "Oh Lord, Susie's a good girl. She's trying to serve you. Please bless her and strengthen her and watch over her." The girl telling the story said she got very excited. She grabbed the diary and said, "I want to find my page." She flipped over several pages, and there was her name written across the top of a page. Almost breathlessly, she read what was written underneath her name. One of the most important men in the entire Bible, in the Old Testament anyway, is the king whose name meant beloved. Of course, that king is David. The time he is first introduced to us as a young man in 1 Samuel chapter 16, until his death in 1 Kings chapter 2, about 60 pages in your Bible. David is a key man, and the way he dealt with others and the way others related to him was apparently very important, something that God wanted us to see and something that God wanted us to understand. In 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14, David is described as a man after God's own heart. Apparently, David had a heart like God's heart. And David's name is mentioned 968 times from Ruth 4 to Revelation chapter 22. David was an important man in the Word of God. And I want you to notice with me tonight principles of loyalty and disloyalty in the lives of David and in the men who surrounded David's life. You might wonder why I'm picking David. While David wasn't a perfect leader, but he was a righteous leader. The Psalms that David wrote, including the well-known 23rd Psalm, show David's heart for God. When God wanted us to understand what kind of leader Jesus would be, at least three times we are told that he would sit on the throne of his father, David. David was a leader who knew how to weep and how to rejoice, how to repent and how to forgive, how to fight battles and how to let God fight his battles, how to make decisions and how to issue commands, how to be patient and tolerant, and how to carry out justice. David was, in every sense of the word, one of the greatest leaders in all of the Bible, and I dare say in all of history. So what can we learn about loyalty from this man's life? Number one, first thing about loyalty is wisely and consciously choose those to whom you give your loyalty. Wisely and consciously choose to those to whom you give your loyalty. In the life of David, there are two pictures of loyalty that are as great as any pictures in the Bible or in history. One relates to the more well-known story, the story of his love and friendship with Jonathan. And the other relates to a man who is probably not as well-known to us. His name is Ittai. David's encounter with Ittai takes place at one of the lowest points in David's life. David's son Absalom had sat in the gate of the city and had stolen the hearts of the young men from their king. And then at the appointed time, under the guise of doing something very special or spiritual and religious, he had trumpets blown and the announcement made that he was now king. You know the story, he mounted a full-scale rebellion against his own father. And in danger for his very life, David fled from the city of Jerusalem. But as David is leaving, he runs into a man named Ittai. He's a name you ought to remember. He's a person we all need to emulate. He gets my reward for Mr. Loyalty in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 19 says, "Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, 'Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee.'" In essence, David is saying, "Ittai, you don't owe me any loyalty. You've just arrived here from another country. I haven't done anything to earn or deserve your loyalty." In verse 21, "And Ittai answered the king and said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be.'" Ittai's response is incredible. He says, "King, when I came here, I chose you to be my king. And wherever you go, I will go. If you die, I will die. And if you live, I will live." Sounds very similar to what Ruth said to Naomi, doesn't it? Ittai owed David no loyalty, but he haphazarded everything for what looked like a lost cause. Now wait a minute. David is the same man. And Absalom, his own son, is rebelling against him. Well, Ittai is ready to die for him. What is going on here? Ittai was doing something Absalom, David's son, should have done. He should have pledged his loyalty to the king. Ittai has wisely and consciously chosen to give his loyalty to King David. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't need to know what's going on. All he knows is that David is the king. He knows that David is a man of God. He knows that David is God's anointed leader. He is the king. Now, there are many things about David that we could pick apart. I think that David was not a very good communicator. I think that David was a weak father. I think at times David was overly patient and tolerant. Ittai may or may not know this. To him, it didn't matter. His loyalty is chosen and will not change. Loyalty depends on you, not on the person you're following. You should wisely and consciously choose those to whom you will give your loyalty. You know, you can give respect and acceptance to just about anyone, but you can't give everyone loyalty. I can give acceptance and respect to the president of a foreign country, but I cannot give that president my loyalty. Loyalty is more than faithfulness. A person may be so faithful to a task that he appears to be loyal to the leader when in reality his faithfulness is self-serving. Loyalty is more than cooperation. Cooperation may simply be something necessary to get the job done. Loyalty is an attitude of the heart. Loyalty is not neutrality. Loyalty is not the absence of disloyalty. Loyalty is not simply refusing to listen to bad information. Loyalty defends. Loyalty is positive. And maybe this is come home to me because, to be quite honest, I was not always loyal to this extent. When I went to Toma and served as the youth pastor, and I was later promoted to assistant pastor or associate pastor, one day I overheard some people talking about the pastor. Now, this pastor and I were very, very close. We did everything together. We made hospital calls together, and he took me fishing, and I just considered him like a spiritual mentor or father. We were very close. But one day I overheard these, just a couple of people, talking bad about the pastor. And what I did was I went back to the pastor, and I told him what these people had said about him. You know, it just about tore the man up. At that point, I believe, was a time he decided that he was going to look for another church. And I realized something today that I wish I would have known back then, that I was not acting in true loyalty by standing back saying nothing. What I should have done to show my loyalty was to go to those people and tell them what the pastor really was like, and to tell them that they were mistaken about their pastor. You know, loyalty doesn't just say, I don't want to hear that. Loyalty says, let me tell you something about this person that will really help you know that person. And I wish I would have done that. But I didn't. And I just want to encourage you to learn these lessons of loyalty so that you don't have to ruin friendships. And his friendship and mine weren't ruined, but I felt that it could have been closer and it could have been enhanced if I would have simply done the right thing. Loyalty. You know, the world today is not loyal. We have marriages breaking apart. People aren't loyal. Children aren't loyal to parents. Employees aren't loyal to employers. People aren't loyal to churches. And I think everybody who joins a church should choose when they join, they are going to be loyal to that church. When you have a church that is loyal to the Bible, be loyal to it. Wisely and consciously choose those to whom you give your loyalties. Ladies, don't marry a man unless you're willing to give him your loyalty for the rest of your life. Men, don't take a job unless you are going to give your loyalty to the people from whom you work. Choose loyalty. All of us must continually look two directions. We must continually look up to those over us, and we must continually look down to those who are following us. And when I'm talking about looking up and down, I am talking about God-ordained structures of authority, not attitudes. We should never look down on somebody with a bad attitude. Nobody should ever look down on anyone, actually. But it's more important to know whom I am under and that I'm following him or her than it is to know whom I am over and that they are following me. How could Absalom rebel? How could he rebel? He lost his respect for his father because he just quit looking up. He quit looking up to his father. And when he did that, it wasn't then easy to look down and find other rebels that would join in his cause. Once we start to lose our respect and to look up, we are showing our disloyalty. In Luke chapter 7, a centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant. But when Jesus started to go to his house, the centurion said, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority." That is a very important phrase there. Here's a centurion. He's in charge of 100 men. He says, "I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What was it about the centurion that amazed Jesus? It was said that he was a man under authority instead of saying he was a man in authority. All of us continually are under authority. And we are not just followers, but we are leader followers. We both follow and lead. We are both following and leading. The centurion was both a follower and a leader. But he recognized that his right to lead came from his loyalty as a follower. And a leader must always remember that the day he forgets to follow is the day that he forfeits his right to lead. The power to lead comes from the loyalty to follow. And Jesus marveled at the faith of this man who said he was under authority. It is a lack of faith and a self-centered focus to concentrate more on those following me than on those whom I am following. In other words, it's easier for a wife to see her children disobeying her than it is for her to see herself disobeying her husband. It's easier for a husband to see his wife disobeying him than it is for him to see himself disobeying his employer. It's easier for all of us, for any of us, to see those who are under us disobeying us than it is for ourselves to see us, ourselves, disobeying God. Are you loyal? Are you loyal? Choose who you will give your loyalty to. Number two, give loyalty to people and positions, not just to personalities. Give loyalty to people and positions, not just to personalities. Just after David's victory over Goliath, King Saul's captain, Abner, brought David in to see the king. Saul's son, Jonathan, was standing there listening in. As David talked, he began to reveal his heart. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." Sometimes God will bring you across the path of some godly person, maybe like George was talking about tonight. And he brings this person across your path, and you should be friends with them for life. Give that person your loyalty. And once you do, never take it away. Be with that person when they face difficulties. Stand by that person. Pray for that person. Encourage that person. Do all in your power to lift them. What if they compromise? Then talk to them. And there may come a point when you may need to even separate them, but still don't remove your loyalty from them. Because your loyalty is what they will need in order to find the way back to the path that they left. Jonathan's loyalty here was not just to David the man, though it was that. When Jonathan gave his robe and sword and bow and girdle to David, Jonathan was recognizing that David was really God's choice to be king. This story amazes me. Who would have been king after Saul? It would have been Jonathan. But he recognized that David was God's choice to be king. Was he jealous? No, he pledged his support. He pledged his loyalty to David. Even though Jonathan was the king's son, he yielded his right to be king and gave his loyalty to David. Give loyalty to people and positions, not just personalities. You know, it'd be easy to be loyal if every person in authority over our lives was a kind, easygoing, likable, wise, godly, perfect person who wanted and met every need that we had. I mean, that would be easy to give our loyalty to a person like that. But it isn't always that way. In fact, sometimes God requires you and me to give loyalty to someone because they are in authority over us, even though they have a terrible personality. King Saul was angry, jealous, vengeful, and an unreasonable man. You could not reason with him. David had done nothing wrong, but Saul was jealous of David and tried to smite him, tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin while David was playing music for the king. David had to run for his life, and he ran for months. Over and over, Saul tried to kill David, but David never ceased to be loyal to Saul. 9 times David referred to Saul as the Lord's anointed. David recognized that Saul's position was given to him by God, and therefore Saul deserved loyalty even from the man who wanted to kill him. What's your excuse for being disloyal? Is it any harder for you to be loyal to your father than it was for Jonathan to be loyal to his father? 1 Samuel 14, Saul issued an irrational order that no soldier was to eat anything while they fought against the Philistines that day. Some of you caught that. Jonathan didn't even know about the order. While he was walking through the woods, he got hungry. You know, if you were walking through the woods, you'd probably get hungry too. As he's walking through the woods, he saw some honey and he dipped his rod in it and he ate it. Now, when Saul found out about it, this is what he said. "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul answered, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die." Notice the angry spirit in Saul's words. But the people intervened. And the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. I ask you again, is it any harder for you to be loyal to your father than it was for Jonathan to be loyal to his father? Jonathan's father wanted to kill Jonathan's best friend, David. And his best friend was a good friend, not a bad friend. He was a good friend. Yet much later, when Saul died in battle, Jonathan was right there, and he died with his father. He died at his side. Loyalty to Christ is right, and disloyalty is wrong. Loyalty to parents is right, and disloyalty is wrong. Loyalty to your husband is right, and disloyalty is wrong. Loyalty to our government is right, and disloyalty is wrong. Loyalty to your employer is right, and disloyalty is wrong. If you give loyalty based on personality, then you will give loyalty to the wrong person. Daniel was loyal to a wicked king, even when he couldn't eat the meat and drink the wine that the king gave him. Loyalty is not the same as blind obedience. I'm not talking about following somebody blindly tonight and pledging blind loyalty. I'm not talking about that. And following them wherever they go and whatever they do. But I am asking you that when at all possible, you be loyal and obedient to those authorities. Loyalty is still right. It's still right in our world today. Loyalty is right. Disloyalty is wrong. Number 3, loyalty to human leadership is really loyalty to God Himself. Loyalty to human leadership is really loyalty to God Himself. Loyalty is a choice you make and then prove over and over again for the rest of your life. Loyalty doesn't change based on rumors. Loyalty depends on you, not on the person you are following. The only way to give loyalty is to recognize the hand of God, choosing this person for you to be loyal to, or to see the hand of God placing this one over you in authority. David had a sister named Zariah, who had three sons named Joab, Abishai, and Azahel. All three of these nephews of David's were mighty warriors. Abishai was with David in 1 Samuel chapter 26 when King Saul came with 3,000 men to the wilderness of Ziph to seek and kill David. Saul set up camp and then went to sleep. David stayed awake, and he happened upon Saul. And in verse 6 of that chapter it says, "Then David said to Ahimelech and to Abishai, 'Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?' And Abishai said, 'I will go down with thee.' So they came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at its bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then Abishai said to David, 'God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth, just once, and I will not smite him the second time.' And David said, 'Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?'" Why didn't David let these men kill Saul? Because he saw him as the Lord's anointed. David had to run from Saul just to survive, but he never quit being loyal. More than 25 years later, David was running for his life, this time from his son. Absalom had taken the throne. Abishai is again by David's side. A guy by the name of Shimei curses and throws stones at David. Abishai wanted to kill this man also, but David stopped him. And then later in 2 Samuel 19, we read in verse 21, "But Abishai, the son of Zariah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?'" Why was this man so loyal to David all those years? Because he learned from David that the king was the Lord's anointed. Loyalty to human leadership is really loyalty to God himself. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God." Ordained of God. Those who hold elected or appointed government offices have been given that office by God. When we are loyal to them, we are being loyal to God. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands," how? "As unto the Lord." Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Ephesians 6:5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men." Wives, you need to look past your husband and see that the Lord is really the one to whom you are in submission when you follow your husband. Children, you need to look past your parents and see that God is the one who placed your parents in the position that they are. Employees, you need to look past your employer and see that God placed your boss in a position over you. Obedience to authority is obedience to God. Loyalty is looking for opportunities to be obedient to our earthly authorities because we see God's authority behind it. And disloyalty, or a disloyal spirit against earthly authorities, is really disloyalty against God himself. In any situation where you wonder whether or not you are or have been loyal, you can simply ask yourself a question. If that leader had been Jesus himself, would I have responded any differently? Now, follow no man to hell. It's not blind obedience. It's not blind loyalty. Don't follow any man into sin or false doctrine. But don't forget that loyalty to human leadership is really loyalty to God himself. Are you loyal? Number four, we need to move quickly. Loyalty is needed to make you what you ought to be. This is an important point. Loyalty is needed to make you what you ought to be. It is easy to think of loyalty as a follower doing what the leader wants done. But loyalty is much more than that. Loyalty is not just needed by the person that is being served. Loyalty is needed actually much more by the server himself, because it's the follower's loyalty to the leader that helps make the follower what he ought to be. Consider it was Elisha's loyalty to Elijah that enabled him to have a double portion of the Spirit of God upon his life after Elijah went to heaven. Lot's loyalty to Uncle Abraham kept his life straight until one day their herdsmen had a disagreement and they wound up going in different directions. Lot wound up in Sodom and then eventually fleeing for his life. Abraham had some faults, but Lot needed him. Lot needed Abraham a lot more than he knew. And he was safe and he did the right things as long as he was with Abraham. But when they got separated, he fell into all kinds of trouble. I'm telling you that loyalty is needed more by those who are serving than those who are being served. You need to be loyal. You don't know how much you need to be loyal. It'll bring promotion in your life as it did with Elisha. It'll bring a safety net into your life. It'll keep you from making wrong decisions as with Lot. And I think that's why the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If you are not loyal, you may not know until you get to heaven all your life could have been. Wouldn't that be tragic? To find out once we get to heaven that we could have been much more profitable. We could have been of much more service to the Lord if we had simply been more loyal. Loyalty is needed to make you what you ought to be. Are you loyal? Loyalty is more than just fulfilling orders and commands. Loyalty is concerned with making the one who is the leader a success. The loyal follower realizes that his success in life is found in pleasing God, which also means pleasing the one God has given them to serve. Loyalty may be enhanced by the follower trying to mentally place himself in the place of the leader. And I do that from time to time. Maybe you should too. Put yourself in that leader's place. Why would you want to do that? So you can feel the heartbeat of the leader. I don't know if this is true, but from my experience and from what I've studied even in the scriptures, strong leaders are not good communicators. If you don't get the heart of the leader, you won't know which way to go, and you yourself might wind up at the wrong place. So number five, a loyal person seeks to understand both the words and the heart of the leader. If a man disobeys the one in authority, he is disloyal. But if a man only does just what he is told, he is not loyal in the fullest sense of the term. There is more to loyalty than raw obedience. Loyalty is obedience from the heart. True loyalty is heart loyalty. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, not with eye service as men-pleasers. You see, surface loyalty doesn't count as loyalty. But as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. So you can do what a person asks, but if your heart isn't in it, you don't get credit for being loyal. True loyalty is heart loyalty. Loyalty looks for ways to please. There is a spirit about loyalty that gives loyalty its power. Loyalty listens. Loyalty is attentive. Loyalty is the son who washes the car without being asked because he knows his father would be pleased. Loyalty is the daughter who joyfully wears clothes that dad wants because she knows that clothing pleases God. 2 Samuel 23 describes a time when David was warring with the Philistines, who had taken the city of Bethlehem. Many times before then, David had drunk of the pure, cool, fresh water out of the well at Bethlehem. But now a battle is raging. What David said in the middle of the battle was not a command. I think it was more like wishful thinking. It was kind of a wishful thinking that he spoke out loud. David said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." David had three mighty men who overheard what their king spoke. And verse 16 says, "And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines, why? And drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David." Now, David could have given the command. He could have said, "Go get me water out of the well that's in Bethlehem by the gate." And the men would have been duty-bound and honor-bound to obey the king. But he didn't. He simply expressed a desire. But to a person who has learned true loyalty, the wish of the commander is a royal command. A loyal person seeks to understand both the words and the heart of his leader. Those men heard David's desire, and they broke through, and they got the water and brought it back to David. You know, when David got that water, he didn't even drink it, did he? He poured it out as an offering on the ground. He was so humbled by the loyalty of his men. There was a group of men during World War II called Ike's Boys. They guarded General Dwight Eisenhower. One of those men told how he and others once stocked a pond with fish from a nearby creek after overhearing Eisenhower's wish to go fishing. General Robert E. Lee sent word to Stonewall Jackson that he would like to see him whenever he happened to be in the area. As soon as Jackson got the message, he rode 8 miles on horseback through a heavy snowstorm. General Lee said, "I didn't send for you. I only said the next time you rode this way, I would like to see you." See, true loyalty understands even the wishes, the heart of those that they are serving. Well, remember the girl in the beginning of the message tonight. The weeping girl sat at the front end of the empty college auditorium. Her godly father had been suddenly killed just months earlier in an accident. The family had found Dad's diary. Joe and Susie had excitedly read their pages of prayers that Dad had been praying for them. And then the girl grabbed the diary and said, "I want to find my page." She flipped over several pages, and there was her name written across the top of the page. Almost breathlessly, she read what was written underneath her name. "Oh God, my heart is broken. This girl is breaking my heart. She won't listen to me. I've tried everything I know to do. I've prayed, I've wept, I've talked. She dishonors me, she won't obey me. God, please give some type of deliverance." The girl was awestruck. She said to the evangelist, "I didn't know my daddy felt that way. I didn't get along with Dad sometimes, but I didn't think it was that bad. Oh yes, I guess I did oppose him, and there were times I wasn't sweet to him, but I didn't think it was that bad." She wound up with these words, "Oh, if I only had 24 hours to be with my father, I would make everything right. Oh, God, if I only had 24 more hours." Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Are you loyal? Are you loyal? If you were to ask those in authority over you tonight, "Am I loyal?" What would they say? Children, young people, if you were to go to your parents tonight and you were to ask them, "Am I loyal to you?" What would they say to you? What would they tell you? You know, you've got time. Unlike the girl in the story, you have time to make things right, to ask forgiveness for dishonoring them or being disloyal. You have time to make it right. I would encourage you to do that. In fact, I would challenge you, if you're not sure, that you'd go and ask your parents, have I been loyal? And if you know that you haven't, you don't need to ask them. You just simply need to ask them to forgive you for your disloyalty. You see, you need to be loyal. You need it for you. It'll benefit you. Many areas of life that we could go into tonight. And we might be loyal in some area and not loyal in another. But I would like you to remember Ittai. And remember, the outstanding thing about him was he was loyal. He was loyal to somebody who didn't even earn or deserve that loyalty. Most of the people in your life have earned that right to have your loyalty. So you can be loyal. And if Jonathan and if David could be loyal to Saul, then why can't you and I be loyal? How many of you tonight, as you've been thinking and pondering and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, how many of you can think of a time or maybe a consistency where you would have to admit that you have not been loyal? And with God's help tonight, you're going to make a change and you're going to be loyal. Would you raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these hands tonight. I thank you for them. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace to be loyal, Lord, to all of our authorities. It's not always easy, and so we need your help. We need your grace. We need your strength. Just help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are actually 7 more points that I have on how you can be loyal. And I think I'll probably finish that up next Sunday night. They're not as long as these points, but there are 7 more things that you can do to demonstrate loyalty. And I want to challenge you with this because it's something that we need to understand, because again, we live in a disloyal world.
Lord, I thank you for this word tonight. Lord, I just ask you to carve it into our hearts, Father, that we would see the depth of what was being talked about here tonight. Work in each one of us, Lord, to bring us to a place of true loyalty. Father, we just ask you to be with us as we go downstairs. And Lord, we just thank you for the pleasures that are set before us down there, Father. And Lord, we ask a blessing on the hands that prepared all of that and made it ready for us. And again, Lord, we thank you for all of that. Just be with us as we're down there. Be with us in our conversation. Just be with us in our enjoyment. Amen.